Marigold and the Invitation. The Spinmeister had a problem. There were not enough recruits to go to the City of Smoke for the mayor. He had tried various things. The most successful was using the melodic harmonium. He had a boatload of kids ready to go, but then he lost it. He tried hard to think of other ways to solve his problems. It would be much easier if other people would help. He thought about the Duke, who lived in the castle at the palace. What if the Duke ordered people to go to the City of Smoke? Then it would be easy to get lots of kids. The Spinmeister thought about how he would explain this to the Duke. There were good reasons for kids to go to the City of Smoke. The work was plentiful. There were busy avenues, many places to shop. You could work all the time if you wanted to, and the lights never went out. As the Spinmeister listed the reasons in his head, he really couldn't think of any kid who would not want to go to the City of Smoke. Surely, he thought, it would be obvious to the Duke. The Spinmeister decided that he'd go see the Duke and explain it to him. And once the Duke understood and then gave the order, there would be lots of kids that would go with the Spinmeister. So, that day, he went to the castle. First, to make sure he looked important, he dressed up. He put on his tall hat, he put on his bright blue coat, the one with the green trousers, the shoes with the small stars on them, the suspenders that were red, and the shirt with swirls in two different directions. Looking at himself in the mirror, even he was impressed with how he looked. Certainly the Duke would see him now, so off he went. It was a long walk from the edge of town to the palace. His head became hot under the tall hat, but he was certain that it was worth it because the Duke would understand exactly what he was saying. He arrived at the gate. The guards looked at him suspiciously, but he was very well dressed, so they let him through. Up the tall stairs, down the long hall with the pictures of the former dukes, with the red velvet curtains that reached to the ceiling, along the polished wood floor with its designs of horses and crowns, the Spinmeister walked until he came to the office of the secretary of the Duke. In the office of the secretary, there were several rows of chairs filled with people. In front, sitting at his large desk with the gold curlicues along the edge, there was a very wide, thick man who didn't look up from the long paper that he was reading. This must be the secretary to the Duke, thought the Spinmeister. Going up to the desk, the Spinmeister waited patiently until the man looked up, a frown on his face. The Spinmeister explained who he was, that he was very important, and that he needed to see the Duke. Ah, said the secretary, nodding and examining the spirals on the shirt of the Spinmeister. If you would like to see the Duke, you must get permission from his clerk. I thought that you were the clerk, said the Spinmeister. No, said the secretary. I am just the secretary to the clerk. But if you like, I can arrange for you to see the clerk, who will determine whether you can see the Duke. The Spinmeister agreed and said he would like to see the clerk then, especially since his project was such a big benefit to the town. The secretary made a note of his name and asked him to sit down in one of the chairs to wait. There were many other people who were also waiting to see the clerk for the Duke. The Spinmeister sat down and waited. After a long time, his name was called. He stood, brushed off his coat, straightened his shirt, and walked into the office of the clerk. A very tall, thin man behind the desk with glasses was writing on a pad and looking at a book. When the Spinmeister came in, he glanced up and asked him, "How can I help you?" "My name is Spinmeister, and I'm here to see the Duke." "Why are you here to see the Duke?" said the clerk. "I'm here to see the clerk, the Duke, because I'm trying to get kids to go with me to the City of Smoke, and I want the Duke to tell them to come." "Ah," said the clerk, "I see. Well, let me check my calendar for the Duke." He pulled a large book with a red leather cover. He opened it on his desk, showing its broad white pages. All of them were covered in script. Turning to a page in the middle, he moved his finger down the long page. Coming to the end of the page, the clerk shook his head. "Nothing today," he said, "but maybe tomorrow." Again, He started at the top of the next page, moved his hand slowly down the page, line by line. Each line was full. Shaking his head slowly, the clerk said, "Mr. Spinmeister, I don't see any opportunity tomorrow. Perhaps the following day." He turned the page, looked at it. It, too, seemed to be a page full of writing. But nodding his head, the clerk said, "It's difficult to say. There may be a possibility. You'll need to come back." The Spinmeister said, I need to see him right away. The mayor of the City of Smoke is expecting me." "I'm so sorry," said the clerk. "We may be able to fit you in several days, but you'll have to come back because I'm not sure. Thank you for coming." With that, the clerk resumed studying the book and writing on the pages. The Spinmeister was disappointed about not having an appointment. On the other hand, maybe in a couple of days, he would be able to see the Duke. He left the office, walked down the long hall, down the steps, out of to the courtyard, through the gates. And as he was walking through the town, he thought that certainly it would be helpful for the Duke to give kids his instructions. But still, maybe in the meantime, what the Spinmeister could do would be to persuade the master mechanic to lend him the melodic harmonium. He turned down the street to the laboratory of the master mechanic, and there knocked on the door twice. The master mechanic opened the door, and the Spinmeister saw past him into the laboratory, and that there was a young girl who was working at a table inside. "Master mechanic," said the Spinmeister, "I need the melodic harmonium. Would you please lend it to me? I'm willing to pay you with delicious cookies that I get from the baker." The master mechanic looked at the Spinmeister. "I think we've had a problem before. If I remember, the melodic harmonium was the very thing that you stole from me, and we had to get it back." The master mechanic shook his head and said, I'm not going to lend it to you."
"You must," said the Spinmeister. "I have to get my job done, and I need to get some kids to the City of Smoke."
"You'll have to persuade them with words," said the master mechanic. "I'm not going to let you use the melodic harmonium. And now I'm busy, working with my assistant on another project." Before the door closed, the Spinmeister held up his hand to block it and looked at the little girl. He had an idea. So he said to the master mechanic, to be nice, "I see. Of course you are busy. But who is your new assistant? I don't believe I've seen her before." The master mechanic said, "That's Marigold. But I have no more time for you." The Spinmeister nodded. "Yes, yes, certainly. I want you to know that I am disappointed. But maybe you will lend it to me some other time." And he tipped his hat in respect and left the master mechanic wondering why he left so quickly. He didn't know that the Spinmeister just had an idea to get the melodic harmonium from the master mechanic with a trick. Back to his red roofed wagon the Spinmeister went. When he got there, he sat down at his desk, took out a fine piece of paper and a big pen, and carefully wrote out an invitation. "To Marigold, please come to the palace of the Duke at the top of the castle to a party that I'm having. You are invited. Come right away." And then in big letters he signed it, "The Duke." The Spinmeister called one of his helpers to dress up in his best clothes and deliver the envelope to the laboratory of the master mechanic. Then, with another helper, the two of them went and hid down an alley near the master mechanic's library and waited for his invitation to be delivered. The helper arrived at the laboratory and knocked. The Spinmeister saw that Marigold answered the door. "Miss," said the helper, "there is a special letter from the Duke for you," and handed her the invitation. Marigold took the envelope and carefully opened it. They watched as she read the invitation and saw that she suddenly became very happy. She had never been invited to the palace, and now she was going to go there for a party, and right away. She ran back into the laboratory and explained to the master mechanic that she had to go, but she'd be back soon. Before he could say anything, she ran out the door to go home and change and go to the party at the palace. Maybe she would even meet the Duke. The spinmeister watched her go. He waited a few minutes, watching the laboratory, and then gave a second note to his helper, who took it and knocked on the door. This time, the master mechanic answered it and said, "What is it?" "I came from the spinmeister." "Who sent you this note?" said the helper. The master mechanic took the note and opened it, and it said, "I've got Marigold. Bring the melodic harmonium, and we can trade." The master mechanic was angry. He had told the spinmeister that he wasn't going to give him the melodic harmonium, but now he's kidnapped Marigold. He didn't know why she had rushed out, but it must have been a trick of the spinmeister. He had to help her. He made his decision. He went back into the laboratory, packed up the melodic harmonium, and went to save Marigold. In the meantime, Marigold was wonderfully dressed when she arrived at the castle gate. She explained that she was there for the party. The palace guards were perplexed. They didn't know about a party by the Duke, but they let her through. She went up the stairs, down the long hallway, trying to find out where the party was, but no one seemed to know. Finally, she came to the office of the secretary, where everybody was waiting. She explained she was there for the party. She showed him her beautiful invitation. The secretary looked confused. He looked at the invitation. "Just a minute, please," he said, and he went to talk to the clerk. In a few minutes, the clerk came out holding the invitation. He looked at the little girl who was dressed for a party and said, "I'm sorry, miss, there is no party. This isn't an invitation from the Duke." Marigold said, "But it says right there that it is an invitation from the Duke to come to a party right away." "I'm sorry, miss, but this could not have come from the Duke. This isn't the paper that the palace uses for parties. This isn't his writing, and there is no party. I'm sorry to say that someone has played a trick on you." He handed her the invitation. Marigold looked at the invitation and wondered who would have tried to fool her. She then thought of the spinmeister. He must be making trouble. She should warn the master mechanic. She ran out of the castle, back to the laboratory, and found the laboratory was empty. There was no master mechanic, and the melodic harmonium was gone. Earl was walking in the market with his friend Omar when Marigold, in a beautiful dress, found him. "Earl," she said, "you've got to help me. We've got a problem." She explained that the spinmeister had taken the master mechanic and tricked him into taking the melodic harmonium, and they needed to get him back. She said he was not going to give the melodic harmonium to the spinmeister, so I think that he tricked him somehow. "Now I can't find the master mechanic nor the melodic harmonium, but it must be the spinmeister." "Weren't you there with him?" I was," said Marigold, "but the spinmeister made this fake invitation, and so I left to go to the palace because I was invited to a party, but there was no party. It must have been while I was out that they got the master mechanic." "I know," Marigold said, "that the spinmeister wanted the melodic harmonium to get kids to go on his boat to the cities of smoke." And that's when Omar spoke him and said, "I was in the castle delivering cupcakes when I saw the spinmeister go by. So I followed him to the hall of the clerk. I heard him trying to convince this clerk for an appointment with the Duke so the Duke would send kids, but the clerk told him that the Duke was too busy. He would have to come back in a few days. Maybe he decided not to wait for the Duke." The three of them walked out of town into the woods to the edge of the field and looked out over the field where the spinmeister's wagon was. They couldn't see the master mechanic because of the guards in a big tent. They crept closer. Then they heard his voice. He was saying the melodic harmonium wasn't working and he needed some tools. "I'm not going to let you go," replied the spinmeister to the master mechanic, "until it's fixed. We're going to keep you here until it's done." Earl whispered to Marigold and Omar, "How are we going to get him out of there with the guards?" And Marigold said, "I've got an idea. He wants to see the Duke. Maybe we can help him."
She explained her idea to Earl and to Omar, and they agreed it might work, and they went back to the laboratory. Working all afternoon, the three of them worked at the console of the Wheelabrator clay machine, tapping away, and soon they had made a large carriage. It was an automatic carriage with fancy tall wheels and a little engine. A thingamabot sat high up on the driver's seat. They painted the carriage silver and gold with a special design showing a picture of the Duke. It was large and beautiful. As Omar and Earl admired it, they said to Marigold, "It's beautiful, Marigold. You've done a wonderful job. Will it work?" "Oh, yes," said Marigold. "It will carry someone about town. But it's only made out of Wheelabrator clay, so it only will work for a few hours. And then it begins to melt and go back to the original clay. So let's not wait. Let's send it." And with that, she gave instructions to the thingamabot, that was the driver, and off it went, headed to the Spinmeister. The carriage moved on its own down the road, but Marigold, Earl, and Omar went secretly along a path through the woods. They were in place when the automatic carriage drove up on its own to the tent of the Spinmeister. The guards were amazed to see such a wonderful carriage, and they called out for the Spinmeister to come out. "Look," they said, "Spinmeister, there's a carriage here, a fine, great carriage." "Whose is it?" said the Spinmeister. "I don't know," said one guard, "but it looks like it came from the palace, and it has a picture of the Duke on the side." The Spinmeister came out of his tent. He was surprised to see such a carriage. "Oh my, that is a beautiful vehicle. I wonder why it's here." The Spinmeister went over and looked at the thingamabot, who didn't say a word. Suddenly, the carriage door opened. The Spinmeister thought to himself, "It's for me. The clerk must have told the Duke, finally. And now the Duke wants to see me." He was about to get in when he thought, "I can't just arrive in a beautiful carriage without a footman. I need an escort to go to the palace, and not one, but probably two footmen." He looked around at his three guards. He told two of them they had to dress in their finest clothing so they could ride on the outside of the carriage and be his attendants. The third guard was disappointed because he was instructed to stay and guard the master mechanic. The Spinmeister said that they might not even need the master mechanic and his old melodic harmonium if the Duke helped them. They would soon know. In the meantime, they locked the master mechanic in the wagon, and the Spinmeister got into the beautiful carriage. His two helpers, dressed as footmen, sat on little seats next to the thingamabot, and when they were ready, the fancy carriage turned around and drove into town towards the castle. As soon as the carriage was out of sight, Earl sent out Ichabod, who raced over to the guard who was sitting outside the tent eating his lunch. The little dog grabbed the guard's sandwich, which was on the seat next to him, and before the guard knew what was happening, Ichabod ran out into the field. "Hey," said the guard, "come back with that." He put down his spear and ran after the dog, who had the sandwich in his mouth. As the guard ran after Ichabod, Omar and Marigold ran over to the wagon, unlocked the door, and called out to the master mechanic. "Quick," they said, "let's go." The master mechanic, who had been watching through the little window in the wagon and recognized Ichabod when he came out of the woods, he grabbed the melodic harmonium, jumped down from the wagon, and they all hurried away. When Earl saw the master mechanic safe, he signaled to Ichabod with a whistle, and the dog dropped the sandwich and raced into the tall grass. The guard picked up the sandwich, but couldn't see the dog anymore. He came back to find the wagon door open, and no one was inside. And the melodic harmonium was also missing. They had escaped. It was just then that down the road came walking two well-dressed guards and the Spinmeister. "Where's the carriage?" said the guard with the sandwich. "I just don't understand it," said the Spinmeister to himself as he counted the problems that they had happened to him. "As we were getting close to the castle, all of a sudden the wheels fell off the carriage. And when I turned the handle on the door fell off the carriage. And then as we watched, the entire carriage melted into silver clay that just puddled on the ground. I had to walk the rest of the way. But when I went to the palace to see the Duke, They wouldn't let me in. I said he had sent a carriage, and they said the Duke's carriage had never left the castle. They said I must have been tricked. It was all very strange.
The spinmeister was now looking at his wagon with the door open. The guard with the half a sandwich had to explain that the master mechanic had escaped and had taken the melodic harmonium with him. The spinmeister was not happy. He decided to come up with another plan. The end.